All right, everyone, it is Thursday and we've reached the penultimate morning briefing of the week. I am Hamish, you know that by now. He is Ryan. Ryan, how are things? What's going on in your mind regarding Celtic right now?
Just looking forward to the next game. I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for Sunday to come already. Looking forward to going to the game too, Dens Park. It's a big Sunday, you know, having Rangers play first against St Mirren and then Celtic play next against Dundee. It'll be a blockbuster Sunday. All of the games will be on Sky as well, so those that can't make it to the game will be tuned into both, I'm sure. But I'm looking forward to getting to Dens Park and sampling some more of the atmosphere, more of the title race atmosphere. Hopefully Celtic can get another 3 points closer to where they need to be.
Yeah, they should come up with a name for these Sundays when you've got two games back to back, and I don't know, maybe someone could come up with a name. Anyway, first of all, sponsors, MPH Boilers, Weissman, a big thanks to them for sponsoring this video. You know that Weissman are a global leader in the boiler industry. You'll also hopefully know that MPH Boilers are Scotland's very own award-winning installation team. So if you're in need of a boiler, get in touch with Weissman and MPH. When you go with them, you'll also get a free internet controller, and they're offering the first year service free. So that would take you all the way, Ryan, until April 2025, and who knows what we'll be doing at that stage. So yeah, get in touch with them, links are in the description, etc. We also have this still running, Ryan.
Certainly do. 6 months of access for £1 plus a free Kyogo Furuhashi print from renowned football artist made by Frankie. £1 for 6 months. I'll do the quick maths as well. If you sign up for us now, you'll be signed up until round about the 25th, 26th of October. So you'll have 6 months of access. You'll get all the scouting reports, all the analysis, all the pre-season stuff, right up until, you know, after the first international break. You'll be sorted for Celtic content. www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. On there this morning, there is a really good piece by Stuart Ross, and he's looking at the potential Matt O'Riley replacements. Now, I know Matt O'Riley hasn't left the club as of yet, I think a lot of people are expecting bids to come in for him in the summer. So he's found three targets that could be ideal players to maybe come in and fill that inevitable void that's going to come. So yeah, that's available on the website. Three really decent players. I've watched clips of them, and they all three of them look like really, really good finds and players that Celtic could afford as well. So if you're looking for that, if you're looking to find out maybe about the next Celtic players that Celtic could potentially look at, then please visit that on the website at www.celticway.co.uk.
Very good stuff. Yeah, certainly check that out. Hello, Des and Francis, and a few other people watching us on Facebook. We are live on Facebook, Ryan. We were debating whether the link to Facebook had lapsed today, but I think Ryan worked some magic. So we're definitely streaming live on Facebook. You're watching us on, I think, most people on YouTube, some on Facebook. Does anyone watch on Twitter/X? I'm interested to know. I don't really ever see the comments coming up from there. I don't know if you...
Well, we usually get more comment on pre and post match videos, I've noticed.
How does it come up? Does it like a reply that it comes up? Because you can't comment on a
there used
stream,
to be,
can you?
I don't know if they've changed it. I don't know if
this is great chat.
On streams. Yeah, I know it's absolutely riveting stuff, but there used to be something, and it actually came up as a message when people joined. So you'd get about 100 messages or 50 or whatever, of how many people were on X were saying, such and such is joined, such and such is joined. So they were actually coming up as comments rather than, you know, just a number at the top left-hand corner. So we usually do get, most of our people are from YouTube, and we thank all of our subscribers for joining us on there. But we do get a small cluttering of people from Facebook and X. So welcome to everybody to the stream.
Yeah, fabulous stuff. David wondering about the game at the MCG today. Terrific stuff, David. I'm speaking to about 0.5% of the viewership, I'm sure. But there was a big game. It's Anzac Day today, kind of big remembrance day in Australia and New Zealand. And they play a big Aussie Rules match every year. I think it's Collingwood v Essendon every year at the MCG. And today it was a draw, which is extremely rare in AFL. I think there was maybe one all last season, maybe two all last season. Very dramatic stuff, so my nerves are shred already. But let's talk about Celtic, and definitely calm me down. The Cup Final, Scottish Cup Finals locked in, as someone would maybe say, Ryan. 3 p.m. it's going to be on May the 25th. Joe Hart's final ever match. I've already made my prediction that it's going all the way to penalties. People aren't going to like that, but we're going to win on penalties. Joe Hart's going to score the final penalty. Nah, I don't know about that, but he's going to have a huge part to play. But 3 p.m. confirmed. No more rumours about different kickoff times.
As it should be. 3 o'clock should be the time. You know, go up against the FA Cup final. I'll keep track of both scores to be for sure, but I'll certainly be at Hampden watching the Celtic Rangers game. I like that. I like the fact that they're going head to head with it, because you know what, they might as well. This is their showcase game. End of the season, Celtic v Rangers. I'm sure there'll be a lot of eyes on it anyway. It's a great day of football when you look at it. People need to have two screens to watch both games. Hopefully, the bigger screen for Celtic v Rangers. It's a massive, massive event. I'm glad that they've not changed and they've not moved to accommodate English football like they did last season. I thought that was a tiny bit tin pot. So the fact that they've changed it or they've kept it the same rather and allowed both games to go on at the same time is quite reassuring for me. I like that they've backed their own horse in this race between Scotland and England, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of people tuning in for the game at Hampden on the 25th.
I hope not, Hamish. Seamus is saying, and who's this next saying, Hamish, in your dreams? What's that in response to? What did I say that would be in my dreams? See, I'm now doubting what I was even saying.
Joe Hart scored the decisive penalty.
Yeah, of course. I told you people wouldn't like it, but I just based on Joe Hart's, the end of Joe Hart's career. I mean, the final match of his career is Celtic v Rangers. That's just mad. Imagine he wins, you know, a second trophy in as many weeks that day. It'll be amazing. We've got a lot of football before then. I can already see people saying, you know, one game at a time, guys, stick to it. We will chat a bit about the Dundee game. I'm sure there's a few things we can discuss there. Should we mention a Dyson Maida rumour? Do we do rumours at all? Have you seen this, Ryan?
Yes.
Yes, do you want to explain to people what's been said?
Now, I don't know whether to take this rumour seriously or not, because the way it was written made me think, oh, he's this miraculous healer. So he gets sent to Japan and they did a scan on him and he's never recovered so quickly. I feel like the way that was written, he's never recovered so quickly, is something very, you know, you could relate that to Dyson Maeda, the way that he goes for the ball and that. I don't know if it's a bit of a wind-up. I don't know what these rumours, if they are rumours, prove or they gain for the person that's made them, other than get people's hopes up. But you know, Dyson Maeda, if he's available for the last couple of games of the season, particularly those two Rangers games, the one at Celtic Park and especially the one at Hampden, I think that'd be a massive boost. Now, you take these WhatsApp rumours with a pinch of salt, they spread like wildfire. I get them sent in 3 different group chats last night, so it just shows you how quickly they spread. But I would love to see Dyson Maeda back. He's such an important player. And the fact of the matter is, nobody's really taken that left wing spot quite like he did before he got injured. You know, he was always featuring for the team, albeit regardless of his form. If he had a bad game, he'd play at left wing. If he had a good game, he'd stay at left wing. It was always one of those first names on the team sheet. But the players that have came in, maybe the only exception is James Forrest that came on, that did a really good job on Saturday, but he came off again. It shows you just, I know that was tactical for Navrovsky coming on, but he can only really do 30, 40, 50 minutes in a game. You're wanting Maeda, who can easily do 70, 80, sometimes even 90 minutes. If Celtic could get him back and fit and firing for the Rangers games, then he does such a thankless task in negating Tavernier. You stop Tavernier, you stop Rangers in a lot of these situations. If he was fit and available, then I think it'd be a massive boost for those two games. But you take these rumours with a pinch of salt, a massive pinch of salt. The fact that they came from WhatsApp as well, WhatsApp and message boards as well, point to the fact that maybe they might not be true.
Well, I just read this out because people will be wondering exactly what we're talking about. So this is taken from a WhatsApp message that was doing the rounds last night. I know what depths have we reached here. So it says, exclusive, this has obviously been sent around, exclusive from tonight's audience with Brendan. When Dyson got injured, he was out for the season. They decided to send him back to Japan. The doctor wanted more scans to see the extent of the injury and work out a treatment plan. The docs said they had never seen such a quick recovery from that type of injury. He had another scan, that would be, and a further improvement. He trained on the grass today, that would be yesterday, probably too early for Sunday, but if this week goes well, he'll be back in full training next week. So that's about Dyson Maeda. How do we look on a couple of Celtic forums, just to see if anyone actually could confirm that an event happened last night with Brendan Rodgers? Again, you're taking people at their word, but there were a few people corroborating that message and saying that Rodgers had actually spoken about Maeda, and that he'd said that the original plan had been to send Maeda back to Japan, I think, because he would probably be out for so long, I'm guessing, but that had now changed. That would be fitting with Maeda being at Hampden at the weekend, which he was. Also saying that Rodgers had said that Maeda was back running and that he was optimistic about his chances of a return soon. It wouldn't be this weekend, but potentially he's as early as the Hearts game, potentially fit for the Derby a week later. As we say, we'll wait and see. But there were people on the forums, as I say, corroborating the fact that this had happened. It'd be a massive boost. I mean, it'd be a hell of a boost. We've kind of all conceded that we won't see Maeda again this season. So if he was able to be back to play any part this season, never mind in, you know, a couple of Derby matches, it would just be, you know, massive. But I think for the other fixtures as well, I think like people just look at the Derby fixtures and go, oh, he's got Tavernier on toast. And I saw a really funny comment on one of the forums saying that if Maeda isn't fit to play, we should just hire him as a ball boy to run up the Rangers' right-hand side and just freak Tavernier out, which is actually not a bad idea in a weird way. But I think for the other games as well, Maeda offers us a hell of a lot, and he's by far the best option we have in the left wing. I don't care what anyone says. I think he's really underrated. I know he's frustrating on the ball, but I think when he's missing, you really notice what Maeda brings us. So I don't want to spend any longer on it because it is just a rumour. It may be absolutely nothing, but I just have an inkling that there maybe is something in it, and it might be one to keep an eye on next week if we maybe see Maeda back in training. Greg Taylor stuff, I think a number of outlets confirming, or Greg Taylor confirming, that talks over a new contract have been put on hold until the end of the season. So Taylor quoted as saying, "I have 1 year left, but there have been no talks. I have just been focused on finishing the season strongly." Does Greg Taylor deserve a new Celtic contract, Ryan?
Yes, I think he does. I think you've got to safeguard all of your assets, and Greg Taylor's a first team player for Celtic. I don't think he should be a starter for Celtic. Now, I think he's had a great renaissance to his Celtic career, particularly under Ange Postecoglou. The rebirth he had under Ange Postecoglou was something incredible, that inverted fullback role. And he has kind of flirted with that under Brendan Rodgers ever so slightly. I remember him playing against Livingston away. The first time that Celtic went to Livingston away, and he was playing really inverted, and he played really well. And I think a lot of people appreciated him went more when he wasn't in the team, because they seen what happened with that run of games when Bernabe played. You know, it was maybe the thought of he's a safe pair of hands. But for me, I want him to be in the same position that maybe Ralston is next season, where he can come in and out of games, he can maybe have 15, 20 games. But I want to see a first-team starter. I want to see a real upgrade on Greg Taylor in the summer. Now, there was a scouting report that Stuart Ross did last week on three players that Celtic could go and sign, and they all looked like pretty good prospects. Either that, or you promote Mitchell Frame to play more games next season. I thought he looked really impressive in that one European appearance that he had. I think left-back's a position that Celtic have been needing to improve for a number of years now. they thought that Bernabeu was maybe going to be that player that could push Greg Taylor all the way. He did do that, but he made Greg Taylor basically the first team pick, and there was no competition. Bernabeu was there, but I think it pushed Greg Taylor and strived him to be that number one. He had his best season, I think, last season for Celtic. I want to see Celtic buy maybe a more athletic left back, you know, a taller left back. I don't want to be stereotypical with all the things that Greg Taylor isn't, because I think he is athletic, but I'd like to see like a stronger left back that can get down, you know, a Tierney-esque player. Maybe, like another Johnson. If you can get a Johnson down the left-hand side, then I think it'd be... I think it would undo all the imbalance that's in the defence at the moment, because I've been doing analysis and the right-hand side of defence is a lot stronger than the left-hand side. Right-hand side is Johnson and Carter-Vickers. Left-hand side is Scales and Taylor. Teams are getting joy with Scales and Taylor. If you can balance the Scales, but that sounds too punny, and I don't like that. If you can get those two positions sorted, you can get a better centre back. You're getting Novrovsky, yeah. There's
even
another
worse,
one.
Even worse, Pat.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, see
your sellout, snitch.
You can get a left back that's maybe a bit more physical and a bit more that can get about the pitch a bit faster and with more authority, and get another centre back. Then I think they'll be flying, because those two, Carter Vickers and Johnson, they're fine. I'm absolutely fine with them for next season. So if you can get players of that quality on the left hand side, then I think you'll be dancing, to be honest.
Yeah, I really like Greg Taylor generally, and I think what he's brought to the club has been really good generally. And as I say, you know, I can't emphasise that enough. I think he's, without sounding patronising, I think he's a really good guy to have around. I think he's a really good teammate. I like the way he comes across, and I want him to be around next season. I want him to be playing a part next season on the pitch, but I think I would want, well, I don't think, I know I would want a first choice left back to be signed. I think it's not a great look that we haven't signed one in either of the last two windows. I found January especially, I find it staggering that Greg Taylor's the only left back on our books at the moment. I know people will be shouting out Liam Scales and maybe a few other names. Greg Taylor's the only proven left back we have in our books right now, and we've got away with it so far. What happens if Greg Taylor picks up an injury between now and the end of the season? Like, it's a shambles, the recruitment in that area. It's been a total joke. And I think we absolutely have to sign a left back in the summer. I'm pretty confident we will sign a left back in the summer. I hope that they're a level above Greg Taylor. I agree with your point. I'm looking for someone. I don't know, like Greg Taylor's one of the quickest players at Celtic. I remember a few years ago, I think in Dubai, they posted a video where the players were sprinting across the pitch. I'm pretty sure it was Greg Taylor and Johnny Hayes at the time were the two quickest at the club. So he's not a slouch. I think the issue with Greg Taylor is he doesn't have that drive that someone like Kieran Tierney had. He never takes the ball past a player and drives to the byline and cuts it back, type thing. And that's someone I'd be looking, the kind of profile of player I'd be looking as to sign. I think you make a good point. And Alistair Johnson on the other side, I think, would make a hell of a difference. And you know, I think make us more robust defensively, but also give us more options going forward as well. But I definitely think it's a good idea to give Taylor a new contract, keep him around. He's an important part of that dressing room. And, you know, we saw it with Bernabeu. When we signed Bernabeu, it's no coincidence that Taylor really came on. And he came on in that system as well that I think, you know, played to his strengths as well. He was in midfield. He was passing the ball. I think in this current system, he's not quite, you know, utilised to the same level and the same extent. But I think there's a part for him next season. But I want us to sign a left-back. If we don't sign a first-choice left-back next season, I'll find it even more bewildering.
There's no excuse not to. It'd be negligence not to sign a left-back, because they haven't signed one. People were calling for that in the summer. You know, Brendan Rodgers was brought in. You'd expecting maybe a more physical left-back to come through the door, because he likes having a physical left-back. He likes having a guy that can get down the way. Timothy Castagna, is he not a left-back? I know he's at Fulham now, but he was at Leicester. He liked that. He was more of a driver and he can get across into the box akin to a Lustig or a Kieran Tierney. He likes that mould of player. Lustig played his best football under Brendan Rodgers. I know it sort of fizzled out towards the end for him, but Lustig under Brendan Rodgers was a player reborn. Kieran Tierney, you know, an absolute tank, but he could get up the pitch. He had speed, but he also had accuracy in his crosses. That cutback on Saturday from Johnson reminded me a bit of Kieran Tierney, the way that he used to cut it back players, for attackers. I think if you can get a player like Johnson on the left-hand side to get that balance on both sides, then you open up a whole new avenue for your players. But I think that Celtic need a good defender as well, because, and I think you really see the difference when Maeda's out of the team, because Maeda's a good defender as well if he's pressing and his work rate. If you take him out of the team and you're left with maybe Palma or Yang and Greg Taylor, that suddenly becomes a target for the opposition teams to go at for Celtic. Celtic need to negate that. And the fact that, you know, in Europe, every single cross ball, it seemed, at Celtic Park anyway, when I was there, was going in Greg Taylor's direction, that shows you that they're targeting that in games. Aberdeen then target that with the centre-back and Liam Scales and Greg Taylor, that sort of position. If that's an area that's getting targeted, then Celtic need to remedy that by bringing in a player or two in the summer so that they're not targeting those areas, so that it's not a known weakness for teams in their analysis of Celtic. I don't want Celtic to go into games with a known weakness. I want all their players to be evenly distributed as being strong points in the team, and it seems as if a couple of players are now getting targeted as supposed weak links in the starting lineup. So if they can get that right, if they can spend maybe 10 million on the two players, those two positions, either that or promote Navrovsky. I say promote Navrovsky, but he should be a first team player. Should have played a lot more games. Maybe injuries been down to that as well. You want to see him maybe on Sunday. But Scales and Taylor, I think, are those two positions in the team that could get replaced. If you can get genuine bits of quality, I think you would really see the difference in this team.
I'm quite excited about, you know, the prospect of this team next year. I know we would have said that in the summer there when Rodgers came in, but if we can find a way to, you know, to get through this season and win this league, especially having not been at our best this season, I'm quite excited about what we could possibly do next year. There's huge questions over the recruitment team, and I think it was Hazel earlier was saying, what recruitment team? Like, we don't really know what's going on there at this stage. Who's, you know, overseeing all that? Well, we have a fair idea about that, but it's probably not the right person. But yeah, the prospect of us getting in, you know, a first-choice left-back. I don't think, I could be wrong here, this might age horrendously, I don't think Greg Taylor or Liam Scales will be first-choice starters for Celtic next season. I would certainly hope that's not the case. I'd hope they're both around and able to contribute in some way, but I'd be looking for us to, you know, improve in those two positions. You know, Stephen pointing that out as well. Goalkeeper is going to be a big one as well. I mean, you're looking at possibly three out of the five members of that kind of back four and goalkeeper being new next season. Certainly two of them new to the club. So, you know, big summer of upheaval when you add in, you know, O'Reilly, I think he'll probably leave. You're looking at, you know, the wingers, there's big questions there. You're looking at a fair bit of business having to be done this summer. Stephen as well, he reckons Maeda will be on the bench on the 4th of May against Hearts. Guaranteed. Stephen, what are you hearing? John saying, you know, we need a taller, mobile left back, no more midgets at the back post, please. And Michael saying, this is on Taylor, he has no stamina, he can't get back when the attack breaks down and is always out of position. There's certainly been points, I think, over the last couple of years where Greg Taylor has been at fault. And again, like, it's one thing domestically, I think we're thinking about Europe as well and possibly 8 games in the Champions League next season. Like, it's a big old chunk of our season next year. You know, we'll certainly be in Europe, either in the Champions League or the Europa League, and you really want players who can try and compete at that level and take you to the next level. And I think the jury's out with Greg Taylor, if I'm honest. We might have covered this yesterday. Maestro just wondering if Callum McGregor starts on Sunday. What was your take yesterday, Ryan?
Yesterday I was saying, if he's fully fit, then yeah, I would start him. But I think a 50% or 60% Callum McGregor is no good to Celtic, because I think he plays within himself. I think he did that on Saturday against Aberdeen. I thought he got lost in the pack, to be honest with you. And I'd much rather play 100% fit, I was going to say Scales, 100% fit Iwata than a 50-60% fit Callum McGregor. Now, he's had 8 days since the Aberdeen game. He might be in a better position. And, you know, I know that Dundee are in the top six and Aberdeen weren't, but I would say that Aberdeen have better players than Dundee.
Yeah, even though there's no position, doubt about that.
Yeah. So the level of opposition or the level of individual players in the opposition could allow for McGregor to get a start and see through the game with ease, you would hope. But if he's fit, yeah, you play the captain. It's a no-brainer. He will start the game if he is fully fit. But if he's not, then play Iwata or play Bernardo or whoever. get a 100% fit player in there rather than throwing someone in just for the token gesture that he's the captain and he has to play. If he's not 100% there, then why play him to the detriment of the team when you've got other able centre mids that maybe aren't as good as Cal McGregor, but they're fitter at this point in time, and they won't cost the team. I'm not saying that Cal McGregor would cost the team, but you've got a better chance of winning if you've got 100% fit players rather than players that are just coming back from injury and aren't fully match fit as of yet. So yeah, that's my sort of take on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's for me what I would learn from, you know, if you look at the weekend and also when he came on at Ibrox, is that we're probably better off if he's not, you know, fully ready, fully fit, which he's not really looked recently, and when he's been playing, you're better off with Iwata in there. But as I said yesterday, you know, the games are all, you know, we're over eight days on. By kickoff on Sunday, we'll be over 8 days on from Aberdeen. That's a fair amount of time for McGregor to be up to speed. So I'll trust the manager. He's maybe not got it totally right with McGregor so far since his injury return, but I don't blame him. I mean, we're incredibly keen to get McGregor back in. We've got this kind of derby in 2.5 weeks on our minds as well. I'm pretty relaxed about it. Oh, I think Celtic will turn up on Sunday and do the business. I know the weekend wasn't ideal and the performance wasn't great. I personally think we were just up against an Aberdeen team who have good players, and when they turn up and are motivated like they clearly were at the weekend, they're a tough game. I think Aberdeen at their best are actually probably the one of the toughest games we face. Probably after Rangers, I think they're probably the toughest game we face. I think they have better players than the majority. Maybe Hearts would be close to them, but we've seen that this season. I mean, that's a couple of draws we've had, you know, against them in 90 minutes this season, and I just think they were throwing everything at us. Yes, we weren't at our best, but I must say, I found some of the chats on Saturday quite surprising. I know it's that stage of the season when people are getting, you know, a bit concerned, and I know that the defence doesn't look great at the moment, but I think Celtic will stand up and be counted when it really comes to it, and I think that will start this Sunday. I'm feeling pretty relaxed about Sunday. Are you the same? Do you have real nerves? It's fine to admit that if you have real nerves, because we're all friends here.
I'm not nervous at all. I think it'll, if anything, Saturday's result and the way that in which they won the game will galvanise the team and push them on from down to the end. I think they needed that sort of hiccup game to realise, you know, that nothing is guaranteed in this league and cup. You know, they're going to have to work to get this double over the line. They're in a great position in the league. They're playing against Dundee, who will come out and play. And if they play like they did against Rangers, then they'll put up a stiff challenge, because they're a well-oiled machine under Tony Docherty. I think he's done a great job with a promoted side. That's 2 years in a row now that promoted managers have done really well. Derek McInnes has done well in both years that he's been in the Premiership.
Struggled against us, though, this season. Dundee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Probably been our easiest opponent so far. I think it's 13-1 mm-hmm. in aggregate over three matches. So there has been an issue there with them.
When you put it like that, it should be a convincing win, but we know that it doesn't always work out like that. I just think there will be a bit of nerves. I think there'll be nerves coming from the stands as well, knowing how close Celtic are to the finish line. But Celtic play their game and they play to the best of their ability. I always say it's such a cliche. If Celtic play and turn up, they win the game. They've just got better players than the opposition. And that's not being big-headed or arrogant. It's just look at the market values of both teams. If if the good players like Matt O'Reilly, if Matt O'Reilly turns up, Cal McGregor, if he starts, Kyogo Ida, if he starts, Bernardo, you know, he did well when he played last time at Dundee. I think that was the game that he sort of announced himself to the Celtic support, and then he carried that on by scoring against Rangers a couple of days later. That was, I think everybody was clamouring to sign for Celtic after that point. I don't think he's that bad an option, either coming off the bench or starting for Celtic at this moment in time. If these players all turn up, then you would expect Celtic to win, and maybe not win at a canter, but win convincingly against Dundee. You know, it would be a difficult game, but if these players play to the way that we know that they can play, then I don't foresee Celtic having many problems on Sunday. I may be wrong. Dundee may come out like a house on fire and really give Celtic problems, but if Celtic play to the best of their abilities, then I've got no doubt that 3 points will be going back to Celtic Park.
I've said this a few times. I think there's real similarities with this Sunday's game and the game we had away to Ross County at this stage a couple of years ago, Postecoglou's first season, first game after the split. You remember the one Jota scored really late on to seal the win, 2-0. We weren't perfect that day. It was a bit of a slog. The game was in doubt to some extent up until that Jota goal, which I think was 90 minutes plus. But we were in control. And I can see something similar. I think all these games are going to be nervy. I could be wrong, but I don't think we're going to get any matches where we can relax all the way through. I think they're all going to be nervy to an extent. But I think the team are focused now. And I just think they'll do enough to kind of win comfortably. 2-0 or something like that on Sunday. Blake is nervous about the quality of the pitch. Blake, I don't know if you saw the Dundee Rangers game. You didn't miss much if you didn't catch that game, apart from a few tears at the end of the match. But the pitch was pretty good that night, I thought. Like, much better than I was expecting. There's a few wee dodgy areas at the kind of goal mouth and the right-hand net, and there's one kind of middle of the park. But I think that'll be fine. You know, 10 days down the line, you're getting decent weather, I think, aren't you? So Dundee will surely be similar, although I did see something about potential rain this weekend. We'll need to double check. But I think the pitch will be fine for Sunday. In Dennis saying every game is a cup final. Not literally, but that's the one people are saying
at
the moment.
It should be treated as one. Every game from now until the end of the season should be like it's knockout football. Celtic have got to win every game. Or 5-1s in a draw would do me. I don't want Celtic to go out for a draw at Celtic Park against Rangers, but 5-1s in a draw gets you the double. Because if you win the game at Hampden and you get four. I'm getting myself into a muddle here.
If we win our next four matches, the fifth match doesn't matter. If we win our next four.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, so I want Celtic to go in with the mantra that they need to win every single game, because if they go into a game looking for a draw, then they'll get beat. They've got to go in and win. Go for the jugular at Celtic Park against Rangers. Really underline it between Celtic and Rangers. Make sure that there's going to be nothing. That there's going to be no title race between the two sides once that game comes along. You know, we don't want any late frantic action away at Kilmarnock or at home against St Mirren in the last game of the season. Make sure it's finished by then. It might not be mathematically finished, but make sure it's going to take an almighty swing in Rangers' favour for them to win the league. They can do that by winning against Rangers at Celtic Park. They might even be in the position where they can win it against Rangers at Celtic Park, given the way the results go. You never know, because the Rangers' form has been that sketchy. But it's all about Celtic. They win their remaining games, they'll be the double champions. They'll have two trophies, and I think nobody will be complaining about the two trophies, especially considering where they were about November, December time.
What a thought. John lives in Tannadice Road, says the Dundee pitch is fine, weather has been good, no problem. Thanks for the update, John. Edward, I think, is a groundsman, I'm assuming. 6 days isn't enough time for some new growth on the pitch. Great insight from both those guys. I hope it's all right, and I think it'll be absolutely fine on Sunday, but we'll have to wait and see, and we'll have to leave it there for now, Ryan, unless there's anything you want to get off your chest.
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered every
you had to think about that, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm just thinking to see if we've got everything. You know, there was always, we talk about that, was it Charles Pickle, the the Italian team's midfielder, the Democratic Republic of Congo midfielder, was getting offered to Celtic. Apparently, I'm not sure how much there is in that. I think he plays in Serie B for, is it Cremonese? I think that was Cyril Dessers' former team. So it could be something to maybe watch out for. But you hear about this, you hear about 20 players that have been offered to Celtic at this point in the season. I don't want Celtic signing anybody until a head of recruitment is in place, because you know it's got to be symmetrical from the manager to the from the head of recruitment to the manager. Everything's got to be in place. They've got to be yesed and signed off from all elements. But you know you'll hear about loads of players getting linked to Celtic from now until the transfer window actually opens, and then you'll hear about even more when the transfer window's open. So yeah, I think you'll hear this from about 10 players from now until the end of the season, and then you'll hear hundreds from then on. But you know, maybe something to talk about.
Yes, we'll be back tomorrow. Tony should be with us as well to, you know, chat about the game. And you guys will be doing some videos over the weekend as well. One final shout out for this offer. 6 months of access for £1 for the Celtic Way, plus a free Kyogo Furuhashi print from a renowned football artist made by Frankie. Right, we're going to head off. Thanks everyone for tuning in, commenting, liking, etc. No matter what medium you watched us on, it's much appreciated. As I say, back at 10 a.m. tomorrow.